From the North Georgia Mountain Gold Rush town to the gold, glitz, and glam of the Grammy Awards, Karen Fick and New River is reaching out far and wide. New music from New River right now.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Some of my favorite people in the world are with me now. I'm going to start with the new guy and give him the introduction first. His name is Jeff. Jeff Hawes is from Alabama. He's a school teacher turned gospel singer. Hey, that sounds familiar. We also have Susan Peck Jackson. Susan, she has told us this. It's almost an unbelievable story, but is it okay to say dump truck driver turned gospel singer?
Oh, no.
not driver, but company, right?
Yes, sir. I did have a dump truck company, and I had my uncle that drove it for me.
Okay, Susan, this is your chance. What do we say about Karen? What did she do before she sang?
She was a professional shopper.
Professional shopper turned gospel singer.
That's it. She loves to shop, especially shoes.
Karen Peck and New River, the trio that I'm telling you is pulling out harmonies of wonderful varieties. And I haven't gone back to look, but I think you guys have been on this show maybe more than anybody else, because I like you that much, okay?
Yay,
awesome.
But you got, Karen, you guys bring your own style of harmony. I mean, you can call it mountain, southern gospel. I mean, you can call it a bunch of different stuff, but really it's just a New River kind of sound.
You know what? That's funny because when you say that, because people say, well, what style are you? Well, I mean, we never planned it. I mean, even 20 years ago, we prayed New Year's Eve 20 years ago. We had our pastor and a pastor friend of ours to pray over our ministry, and we dedicated this ministry to the Lord even 20 years ago. We're thankful to still be out here, but we just had some great guys with us. Danny Crawford played the piano at the time, and Tim Lovelace wrote a song, and Kim Patton wrote a song called Bend in the River of Life, and it just seemed like that was just a little style thing. You know, we had this little style going on, and it's just stayed that way through the years. And when we record these songs, we really don't plan how they turn out. So, of course, we're Southern Gospel, but we have, I mean, you know, we've kind of got our own little sound, and we're thankful for that. We've just had a great run the past 20 years. We're very thankful. And we're thankful that radio has received our music as well, and the audience. And so we're very, very grateful.
The sound is truly identifying of New River when you hear it on the radio or even in concert. I mean, it's something that certainly if you're looking from a branding or marketing or just a way to identify the group, I mean, you've got the sound is uniquely yours. And obviously with the vocals of two sisters in there with some family harmony, plus the third guy that comes in there, I mean, it is just a magical kind of thing. And it continues with the project Reach Out, and you're hearing it now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Giant with a boy, a stone and a sling. He swallowed up an army when he parted the Red Sea. He shut the lion's mouth when they threw Daniel in the den. He hasn't changed, he's still the same today as he was then. 'Cause he's a big guy. You might be
like a new river. The Reach Out Project is out and available now, and you're listening to it here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Karen, Susan, Jeff sitting around the table here with us on today's show. I love the songs that you have here, and let's just kind of go through them a little bit and talk about the song selection process. Particularly interested in hearing Jeff's point of view, because this is kind of his first rodeo, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We were talking earlier today just about how kind of it was cool to be there from the groundbreaking of all these songs, because I'd never been a part of anything like this before. As you mentioned, I taught high school English, so these were only things that were in my wildest dreams to be able to do. But it was so neat to sit on the bus and go through the song books, the songs that would come in, and go through the books of the lyrics, and to go through them and then pick the songs, and then go into the studio and lay the tracks, and then add the vocals, and just all, it was like one layer after another. It was so cool, so neat to be a part of.
Jeff, you've, and at the date, today's date, how many months have you, or how many years, how long have you been with the group?
Ooh, it seems like a long time. No, it's been a little over a year and a half.
Wow, so, but a lot has happened in that amount of time, right?
Yeah. Really has. A lot has, the time has flown by. A lot of exciting things that have happened just in a year and a half. I said it seems like I waited till I was 26 to really start living, because it seems like so much has happened. I'm so thankful.
So what part, Jeff, did you have in songs? I mean, tell us, everybody wants to know, how do you choose songs? And we hear about the thousands of demo tapes you get, and people say, hey, would you cut my song? Or, hey, I've written a poem. Can you put some music to it and put that on the CD? And so ultimately, does it fall at the record company's hands and they just say, hey, here are 10 songs. Hope you agree with them because we want you to cut them. Or is it like you guys get together on the bus, you're between dates, and you say, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, it was actually a lot of that. It was really a collaborative effort with just several people. We started out on the bus with just getting those demos that were sent to us, and we have a massive book on the bus with the lyrics that have been sent in as well. And so I remember Karen had her little boom box sitting on the table there in the bus, and she said, "All right, let's get to it." And so we were listening to songs, and a lot of just great songs. And this was probably, I guess, over a year ago, because it wasn't too long after I started, and we just felt like at that time that it just wasn't time to record yet. We just felt like God wasn't exactly, the timing wasn't right, even though we had a lot of really, really good songs, but just didn't feel like it was the timing. And so then, as time progressed, we went back, and Karen met with several of the people from Daywind in Asheville, and so they sat down and really went through songs too. But we as a group sat and picked a lot of the songs that we felt led to record, maybe lyrics in there that really spoke to us, and really felt like we could put our spin on it. And so it was a collaborative effort with a lot of people. Nobody really said you have to do this song, but it was, I know, as you two will say as well, a lot of prayer went into it. God, are we choosing the right songs?
11 great cuts on this. It's Reach Out, Karen Peck and New River. Today's guest is on Daniel Britt.
Love don't seek up, love don't make war, love don't hold grudges, and it don't keep score. Love is forgiving in spite of the pain. It may not be easy, but it's never easy.
project is reach out. It's available any of your favorite music retailers or legal online download spots or online at KarenFeckinNewRiver.com. And the group is with me. Susan, I want to put you in the hot seat here, okay?
Okay.
You've been with the group since the beginning.
That's correct.
From your point of view, what have you seen change about the way you do what Jeff just told us a few minutes ago about choosing the music? I mean, has anything changed since day one as far as are you getting more songs that come from everywhere now that maybe the group's had more longevity to it, or has technology changed the way you get demos?
Yes, definitely technology has changed. But I think that we've always had great writers. We've been very blessed to have wonderful writers to send us songs. And it seems like that we've got more writers from different genres of music that's sending us songs too. So we are very blessed. And I think it's each album is where we're at in our lives. And I think, you know, we're in different places and different albums of our lives. But as Jeff said, I think that when we went in a year ago to pick out the songs, we were at a different place. But then we had a bus accident, and we've had a lot of things going on. And I think this album talks more about reaching out to people, and people are hurting nowadays more than ever. And so we just need to reach out to them and let them know that Jesus cares for them.
Project is titled Reach Out. Karen Peck, Susan Peck, and Jeff Hawes. And let me tell you, you guys are great at choosing songs and choosing songs that work well with radio. And I know you do that with the help of your record company and advisors there. But the first song that went out to radio, Karen, tell me about this. Banks of the Promised Land. It feels like an old song. I think it's got a new twist to it. And so some might say, could you get more creative than that? But you know what? Radio loves it, and the reviewers love it.
You know, the message is the same. I mean, you know, the message of Jesus and his love and mercy and grace and the crucifixion and the burial and Jesus raising from the dead, and all of that's the same, and the message has been the same for 2,000 years, and that message will always remain the same in our music. I mean, because that's the underlying current. Heaven is a reality, and it's so important that we make sure that we're ready to meet Jesus face to face. We actually, Susan and Jeff were talking about choosing the songs, and the funny thing is we were at Daywind, and that was the very last song that we played. And so when we played On the Banks of the Promised Land, everybody said, oh my goodness, that's the song. That's a great song. And so hands down, we all agree we had to record this song. But I think that this song is also a reminder to all of us that, you know, that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that one day we will see Him face to face, and we can reach for those nail-scarred hands, and we can thank Him for all He's done for us, and also reunite with our loved ones. And over the past few weeks, we have had, I think, five people that were very close to us, and family members and close friends that have passed on, and they knew the Lord, and truly their celebrations, their home-going celebrations were just wonderful. So this song is very special. It's very special to us, especially now because of where we've been in the last few days. So we're very passionate about this song.
And how old is it really? Because, I mean, I know we've said that these truths don't get, you know, they never get old saying them, and we hear them in fresh ways. And that's what the gospel is all about. When you talk about gospel music, you got to say some of the eternal truths that we've known about for 2,000 years in a new way that's applicable and is going to be ear-catching, I guess, in 2011. So with Banks of the Promised Land, again, it has this kind of, on one hand, kind of an old hymn kind of sound to it, but clothed in fresh garments.
You know, that's it. And one thing, I don't think we've sung a song like this in a long time, and you know, stylistically wise, and you know, and what it's saying. And you know, we've sung Daddy's Home, and we've done Now That You Know Where Heaven Is, I Want to Know, and you know, we've sung about heaven in the past, but it really felt good to go back and once again sing another song about heaven.
I have built my life on the solid rock, far away from the sinking sand, and I cast my eyes to the home that waits on the banks of the promised land. There's a song of praise that is lifted there by the same and the angel band. I long to go and to join the choir on the banks of the promised land. Hallelujah, what a morning when I reached for that nail-scarred hand.
Bye.
subject is Reach Out, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with today's guests, Karen Peck and New River. All right, so Jeff, what would you say is your song on the project? When folks come to you and they say, Jeff, you've recorded your first project with Karen Peck and New River. I want to hear the whole thing, but I've only got 5 minutes. What song do you want to leave me with?
Gosh, that's tough. It's because there are all so many great ones, and with it being my first time, I love them all. Gosh, I don't know. Banks of the Promised Land was really special to me as well because we had just recorded it and we had just a rough mix, and my grandmother passed away and back in February, and so my mom's family asked that we could ask if we could play that song at her funeral, and so every time I hear it, we sing it, I always think of my grandmother, so that one's very special. And then I love a song that I get to sing the lead on. It's This Is What Mercy Does. I love it. I had been praying a week before I heard the demo that God would send us a song that had the message of the prodigal son, and because I think that message is so relatable to anyone, whether you're maybe the parent who has had a child to go astray and you're praying for them to come back to not only you but to the Lord, or maybe you're the one who's gone astray and you just need that hope of knowing that God is still standing there with his arms open wide and that you can always come back to him. So I mean, that's a great message there too. Kenna West and Twyla LaBarre wrote the song, and so it was neat to get to hear their stories on kind of where they got the storyline from, and obviously the Bible and other events in their lives. So it's just really, really neat to be a part of that song.
At the date of this taping, by the way, and Karen mentioned a lot of the deaths of their loved ones here very recently. Susan, we're just, like a week or week and a half out from the death of your mother-in-law. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. She passed away last week, and it was a tough thing to do. They wanted me to sing at her funeral, and that was tough, but you know, I knew that she wanted me to sing, and so it was just a really sweet funeral. And I've been telling the last few years of her life, she had completely gone blind, and she couldn't see anything. And all I could think is when she passed away, all I could think was what she was seeing when she opened her eyes for the first time in heaven. And, you know, she's on the banks of the Promised Land now, and she's meeting Jesus face to face, and that's our goal in life. And I just thank God.
Well, I see song titles like Broken into Beautiful, Faithful Love of Jesus, Sustaining Grace. Karen, I mean, you pick these songs out, you're trying to think ahead to what people are going through and how they're going to be able to take these songs and put them into some kind of encouraging factor in their lives. And then through the recording of the process, like Jeff says, or now if the project's just been released with what's happened with Susan's mother-in-law, these things not only become encouragement for the listeners, the fans, but it kind of turns the tables back to you guys, and the songs you sing end up probably being loving lyrics that come back into your own life, right?
You know, yes, absolutely. We have lived these songs. We can honestly say that God's mercy and grace, that those things have carried us through so much in the last few months. And when we hear a song that we're passionate about, we feel like that hopefully and prayerfully that we can convey those songs to an audience, and hopefully they will understand that the Lord is their help, and he is their mercy, and he is their grace. We were involved in a bus accident September the 1st of last year, and there was a fatality involved. An elderly man pulled out in front of our bus, and we hit him head on, and he, you know, of course, passed away that afternoon, and found out later he was a retired pastor. And so we were devastated. And then 10 weeks later, a semi-truck hit us in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were awakened just in absolute terror. And so we've been broken, but we could see God's hand, you know, and his mercy over us and how he protected us through those situations. On the second accident, of course, everyone walked away from the scene, which was a miracle. So when we were listening to songs, we felt like that, you know, I say this, but it, you know, the reason why we couldn't record in June of last year is we really felt like that we weren't ready, you know, as far as the songs were concerned. But it took 2 bus accidents to, you know, to get us to the point that God wanted us to be. And of course, sent us the right songs, we feel like, at the right time. So one thing that we found that through these, you know, this really tough time in our ministry is the fact that we have to totally trust the Lord. And, you know, even just the fear of walking back on a bus was very difficult. But we've clung to the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, where the Bible says God does not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we realize that some of the situations that we go through, we're just not going to understand and we're not going to like it at times. But it's the only way that God can get us to where we need to be. And so we're just in total trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right now. And we're so thankful that He did send us the right songs at the right time, and just very thankful to the writers for being obedient by sending those songs.
Lord, I know You still work miracles, turn water into wine. So that's what I expected when this storm hit my life. It soon became apparent Your sustaining grace. You've kept me going, kept me growing, kept me knowing through it all that I can make it, have strength to take it. You were listening when I called. I tried to make that mountain move, but instead You moved in me and let me see. There's nothing sustaining grace. Lord, I know You still work miracles. You're performing one today. 'Cause in my human weakness, I see Your strength displayed.
Peck and New River with this project that's out. It's called Reach Out. They're guests today on our show, Daniel Britt and Friends. By the way, you can keep up with all things that are happening, plus hear the interview again online at danielbritt.com. Connect with us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Hey, on the musical side of things, maybe from the art form, and any of you guys jump in free for all in this answer, what was the most musically challenging, or which song maybe stretched your musical abilities and thought, this is a little bit different than what New River typically puts out? Maybe it's got a little bit different instrumentation or a little bit different groove or beat to it. Just from the art form point of view, which one do you think is just kind of cool and unique?
I would say, we're all looking at each other, whispering to each other, Daniel. I would say probably Reach Out. That probably was a challenging song as well, you know, because, you know, it is a secular song, but after the bus accidents, we were so blessed by the people reaching out to us, and we were getting emails and cards of encouragement. And one night I was walking in the house, walking through the house, and I was just thanking the Lord for all of our friends that had emailed and, you know, were calling, and they were just so precious to us. And I was thanking the Lord for them, and I just started singing, Reach Out and Touch. touch somebody's hand. And I thought, well, okay, well, maybe we ought to sing that song on our next album and name the album Reach Out. Mm-hmm. So I think probably that was a stretch for us. Do y'all agree?
Yeah, I do. I think it was fun. And a lot of times when you go back and you do a song that's maybe a secular song, that you want it to be, you know, really good. And so, you know, we had that on us. But I think that Wayne done a great job producing it, Wayne Hahn. And it was fun to sing. And it's fun to sing on stage because you can see all the people out in the audience singing it with you.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I remember going in, that was the song I maybe looked most forward to recording, but yet almost dreaded in a way too, because I mean, it's Diana Ross, and how are you gonna, you know, top that?
That's so true.
I remember we had the lyric sheet, and I think I tried maybe 40 times just sitting in the room before I ever went in the actual studio to try to get the verse down, just of how it went, because she had her own little groove to it. But it was so fun. When we got done, we were like, yes, you know, because we were really proud of it.
And one thing, too, we like to do songs that people are familiar with. I mean, you know, when you find a good song that you've grown up singing your whole life, and, you know, it's really nice to be able to sing a song that you feel like will fit the church and people can sing along with you and hopefully bring back a lot of fond childhood memories as well.
Take a little time out of your busy day to give encouragement to someone. Talking to a stone, if I asked you to share a problem that's not your own, we can change things if we start giving. So why don't you reach out and touch somebody's hand? Make this world a better place if you can.
If you can.
You know, you guys laugh in these radio interviews and you act like you like each other. When the media turns off the mics and the lights and the cameras and you get on the bus and roll on the road, are you guys friends? I mean, I know two of your sisters, but are you guys friends on the bus?
That's a loaded question.
Hey, Jeff, are Susan and I friends?
No, they really are. They're sisters, and I think you have a special bond with somebody that's in your family. But, you know, all joking aside, we have a ball on the bus, but we really are all family. I mean, there are a lot of times that I share things with them that I, you know, would probably only share with family. I mean, they're there to help you through the tough times and sit around and laugh, and we share, you know, funny stories and stuff too, but it is a real deal. And I think that's one, not to get too serious because this is a funny question, but one of the things about it is, with me never having done this before, I think God put me with exactly who He would want me to be with, because if they weren't the real deal, then I felt like I would have been gone, you know, a long time ago.
We, you know, we do laugh a lot. Our mama always taught us to laugh and not to take ourselves too seriously. And it's a good thing, because if we didn't laugh at ourselves, we probably would never leave the house, because we're always doing funny things. Susan and I call each other Lucy and Ethel. But we're always getting into something. And there's always something funny happening, it seems like. But we like to teach our children that too, you know, just, you know, to find joy in life. My goodness, life is too serious as it is. So, you know, try to find the lighter side of life, you know, ever so often. And we do enjoy the road. I mean, the thing is, we love our jobs. I tell everybody, I love my job, but I love my boss. I mean, we can go to the Lord anytime, and He's always there. And He really has, He's blessed us over the years, and we're so thankful and just love what we do.
Speaking of laughing,
you know,
Jeff,
we were
Susan,
riding.
Karen never cooked
us
on
radio
the bus.
People were together in a vehicle the other day, and 4 days late came on the radio.
That's wrong, Dad. That's so wrong.
That's a great.
Yeah. 4 days
late came on.
She didn't.
Everybody,
she didn't want us to tell anybody that she can cook a little bit. She's gotten a lot better, but
again,
every now and then she might cook some beans
and
cornbread or something like that on the bus.
Would just don't tell the insurance adjuster, right?
That's true. That's true. Just don't tell anybody I can cook,
because
it ruins my image.
But 4 days late.
Of your image, though, Karen, you're expanding that image.
Not only are you a shoe
Definitely.
Shopper, and not only are you president of the SGMA, did I get
still,
that right?
I would say it's probably
yes,
still our most requested
SGMA.org,
and,
if you
and
want
really
to become
we're
a member.
Okay with that.
SGMA.org, and you're this, you've got this career in gospel music, but now, what is this about Queen Latifah, Dolly Parton, this movie?
I mean, we.
Are you
know,
an actress?
We'll ever grow
Are we speaking to an actress?
You know,
well, everybody
if
has been
sing
there.
Now.
I mean,
okay, you know, I sing, but
or
if
felt that
you know, me having
life,
two speaking lines
that always
means anything. If that means I'm an actress,
done,
I guess
was
I am.
Never late. Was
but
always
I got a miss. I had a missed call on my cell phone back at the end of September of last year, and it was from New York City.
All right, Reach Out is the project that is out now by Karen Peck and New River. The latest, and a lot of time and effort went into it. I guess back to Jeff, maybe. To close out this thing, since he's kind of the rookie
in this game. And he had been researching gospel artists and wanted to offer
so Jeff,
me a part in a movie called Joyful Noise that features
because
Queen Latifah.
Because you knew going
and
into the
Parton.
Recording process,
and
you were,
at first I
you
thought
were probably
going to
have fun, right?
Because I do have friends that would do
so,
me that
so
way.
So knowing that's
oh,
a
yes,
given,
and a sister.
You know you're going to have fun because
you're
in a recording studio
and,
with some great talent.
Seriously, I called the number back and it was for real. They sent me the script within 30 minutes of the conversation. I loved
the script. Was more surprising to you at the end of
the
day.
The lead vocalist
the end
in one
of the project.
Choirs.
Did you think you
and
had more fun than you thought you would
Atlanta
have, or do you think that recording a project is entirely
and
more
then
work
in March,
than you thought
I went
went into it?
To Atlanta and
well,
the movie.
Yeah,
and
all
so
of
not
that,
only
I
look, did they
I look
give
back and
me,
I think of how
you know,
green
me,
I was, and, well, and still am, but just how nervous I was because you have all these songs, but when you sing in the car or in the shower and you go to the studio to record it, it's totally different.
You can't be in the South.
And you're right, it was a lot of fun. I think one of
the movie was actually filmed around the Atlanta area, so
that,
it was a great experience.
Like I said, it's,
I mean,
it's
from
so
the
creative.
Very first person
you know, you
I
get
spoke
in
with
there
on the phone,
and of course Wayne
to all the people
would,
that,
have an
that
idea,
I dealt with
the producer Wayne Hahn would have an idea, hey, do this, or hey, try
and
this,
it was just
and when
a
you get finished
experience.
With it,
so everybody
it's so
go see it. It's called
because
Joyful Noise. You can Google it. You can also go on Facebook, and they
do
have a Facebook page
how did that come out? Because, you know, it's like it's not even in your head, but yet it's so creative just to be a part of the whole process.
Have you personally seen any footage from the taping yet?
Was that the spirit of the Lord was there?
No idea what to expect.
Karen was in
but,
the studio,
but I'm excited about it. I had to, you know, actually, I was
broken into beautiful.
My choir in the
and I remember sitting out on the couch listening to it.
But they were telling me when we were filming the movie,
like,
we filmed it at the Atlanta Civic Center.
The Lord was just all over the place.
And they had 1,800 people that were
there. I was sitting on the couch listening to her sing the song that I had heard her do several times on the bus as we prepared to get ready to go into the studio.
And actually, my choir had won the competition last year.
And when we went in, because Wayne heard this little part that he wanted us to go in,
Susan and I had to go in and add some everybody to the Joyful Noise competition.
And when we came back out, and that seems really simple, just to go in and do an ooh, you know, and
all I was
done.
Thinking is, oh,
but when
Lord Jesus,
they had it on the track
fall,
and we were sitting there listening, it was honestly like they were just
singing,
and it wasn't our voices,
it was
like the presence of angels
in the room.
So I have
no idea how much
and
of that
after
is
that,
going
Karen looked over
shown,
at me and she said, you ready to do yours?
They say it's
and
a very
said,
small
yes,
part, but I said, little
and it was like I had been dreading the whole time. Oh, gosh,
if you'd have fallen, you might have made the blooper reel and got more FaceTime.
But after that, it was just like the Lord came in and said, all right, this is what you have wanted to do your whole life.
Just get in there
and do it.
Cool,
and he was
but
there
I trust that
in the
they're
going to
display you in a good
time.
Light, but you never
and
know.
I, never
I mean, are you going to be
that.
A villain?
You know,
or the,
I never
mean,
thought
what, you're
be right
the
there in,
outgoing
in the
champion of his choir,
it.
I guess.
So
you know,
I'm
so
not the host. I'm not the villain, Daniel.
No, I'm just saying, sometimes they put a little jealousy in here. They want to put a little angst or something in. So, I mean, are you a pure character that is simply doing it for the right reasons? Or can you tell us?
You know what? I think I am. I mean, I think so. It was definitely a very bubbly character because, you know, I had to walk the stage and I had to say, are y'all ready to get started? Are you ready to hear some good music tonight? And, you know, y'all looking great, that kind of thing. I had to be the motivator. Oh, I was the motivator. That's what I was.
Nice.
Yes,
well,
I had to get the crowd going and getting them ready for the actual competition. And then I was able to, they gave me a live, I didn't have to pantomime any of this, but I had two live lines that I had to say, and you know, I had to introduce two different choirs, and one of them was the Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton choir, and then there was a children's choir that was also involved, and so it was a great experience. And also there's a soundtrack coming out with this movie as well, so and I will be on the soundtrack, and the music that I heard so far, it's fantastic.
And that comes out in January, so I'm sure we can watch your website for details on all of that, the progress.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Karen Peck and NewRiver.com.
We gotta stop listening to all the bad news, the gossip, the economy. Come on, we gotta choose to trust in the one who knows the way. No more focused on the things that bring us down. Trust in the don't have to worry about anything, 'cause God's sending blessings.
Well, the project is called Reach Out, and that certainly has a lot of meaning for this group. In closing, I know you have friends in different circles, but let's talk about in the gospel music circle. And let's go one by one. Tell us one or two of just some of the coolest friends you've got in gospel music that have been there for you, or that you have a connection with when you work concert dates with them. You just look forward to going out and grabbing a hamburger with them or something, just because you know there's some kind of little bond there between you and this other person that we might know.
Well, I'm going to go first. I love Sherry Easter. She's always been there, and she'll every now and then she might call me up and just tell me how much she's praying for me. And she's just a great encourager, and she's one of Karen's best friends, but she's also my best friend too, and I just love her.
I would say Sherry Easter and Kelly Nealon. They have just been right there with me through it all, and through the death of my dad, and oh my goodness, through two pregnancies, and we're mothers, we're wives, and we were bosses, and we have so much in common. And I do have a lot of other wonderful lady friends in this industry as well, but I guess probably I would say they're probably the. I don't want to say this old like they're old, but I would say they're my oldest friends.
And physically close to you as well, in the same state.
Well, we grew up together, and of course I live with the Nealons, lived with Kelly for 10 years and was very blessed to be able to work with her side by side for 10 years and learned so much from her. And she's such a great singer, and I learned so much from her, and of course Rex Nealon, it was a blessing. And then of course Sherry, when we started New River 20 years ago, we worked a lot with Jeff and Sherry, and we were just, I'm telling you, those two girls have just meant the world to me.
Yeah, it's really neat for me too, because they've both mentioned Jeff and Sherry, and but they are close to us because they're so close to Susan and Karen. But I'll never forget probably the first night that I came and auditioned at Karen's house. I was sitting at the piano, and so I was already nervous enough, but she said, "Hey, wait a minute." She said, "Let me go get the phone, because I want to call up Jeff and Sherry. I want to let them to listen too." And I'm thinking, Jeff and Sherry Easter? Oh my gosh, they're going to be on the phone and I'm going to sing. And so, but when I finished, I'll never forget that night, because they were so encouraging to me. And, hey, Jeff, how's it going, buddy? Or just whatever. And from that night, they have been in my corner, haven't they, Karen? It's the real deal. And we just saw them last weekend, and they're the same then that they were the very first time I met them. And, those are people like them, and the Isaacs, too. I remember.
Love the Isaacs, yes.
Love them. And I remember when I was younger, I would come home every Wednesday night to listen to the Gaither Gospel Hour, and the first time that I really knew I wanted to sing gospel music was when I heard the Isaacs sing "The Least I Can Do Is Live for Him." And I remember hearing them sing it, and I was like, "Oh Lord, this is what I want to do forever and ever." And so when we were on the Gaither tour and I got to meet them, I was just blown away by how genuinely nice they were, and would pray for you at the drop of a hat. And so those are things that I just hope that I can be to new and upcoming artists and guys and girls that are coming up, to just be an encourager to them and be real like these people have been for me.
There are arms that we can lean into that always will receive us, a living well of endless truth, the faithful love of Jesus. I pray you know the
guys, I mean, it sounds silly for me to say keep doing good music, because obviously you are, and I don't really think you're capable of doing anything but good music. And you get that kind of talent in a room together, and you get producers like Wayne Hahn, you get a good support staff behind you with Daywind Records, and the publicity you've got going on with Big Ten and Crystal. And hey, you guys, just you got a good thing going. And we mentioned the Grammy thing at the very beginning. You guys took the red carpet. You said you were going to wear Faded Glory, in all honesty. How much fun did you have glamming it up out in Hollywood?
We had a ball. You know, this last Grammy, this past year, we were headed to the West Coast. We did a West Coast trip, tour out there. And we shopped. This is no lie. We shopped from Georgia all the way to California. Am I right, Susan?
That's correct.
Getting, trying to find something for the Grammys. And finally, I think I found my dress in New Mexico. And you found yours. I think you may have found yours almost in L.A. So, yeah. But Lower Alabama. Jeff found his in L.A. since he's from Alabama.
I found my dress there too.
We had a funny moment right there. But we have a ball. I mean, listen, we go out there and to the Grammys and you know, we know our chances of winning are very slim, but we go out there and we act like we've won, don't we?
I know, it's fun.
Because we just have so much fun. I mean, of course, it'd be great to win. Don't get me wrong. We would love that. But we just have so much fun. And, I mean, we absolutely milk it for all it's worth. And I think this was Jeff's first time of being out there with us and had a great time.
Well, what a year to get started, huh, Jeff?
Oh, gosh. I told somebody earlier, I said, I think, and you too, that I think I spent the whole first 26 months years of my life getting ready for the 27th, because it seemed like everything exciting all happened in this one year. It's really cool to see what God's going to do in the future, though.
Well, my goodness, you could retire tomorrow and you'd have stories for your grandkids that would sound
but
like
he's here. He's here for 75 years.
That's right. That's in the contract.
The contract.
That's right. Hey, Daniel, Jeff, tell them what you're going to...
Yeah, Karen, many years from now, Karen will be, you know, she'll be coming in with her blonde hair all the way down to her waist, and she and Susan will have their bling bling on, and I'll be pushing them in a wheelchair for the next date.
Girl, you need somebody like that.
That's right.
Hey, you guys are great. Thanks for taking time. Busy release time for you, and I know you're having fun with all the excitement that comes out with a new project. And so we wish you well, and 11 great songs, and ride that wave until they all get some airtime, okay?
Thank you so much. Daniel. We love you and appreciate you so much.
Thanks, Daniel.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.